What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. And in today's episode, I'm joined with Maxine's third place finalist, Christy Lang. Christy, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm excited to spend a little bit of time chatting to you about your experiences with the challenge. But, you know, Christy, just a few weeks ago, you found out that not only were you in the top 10, but then you made the top three, taking out third place in the Maxine's challenge. What has the past couple of weeks been like for you?
It's been a little crazy. I've had to explain to a lot of people exactly what I was doing, who it was through, exactly how it was structured and why. With the why, it was a little hard because I still haven't figured out the very last why. There's always another step down, but I've had to explain that to a lot of people. There's been lots of messages and, yeah, lots of questions.
Wow, so it sounds like it's been a pretty full-on couple of weeks since the challenge ended, right?
Then obviously Christmas. Well, that was fun.
Look, Christy, you know, I know a little bit about you reading through your profile and your bio on the challenge website, but there might be some people listening who are unsure of who you are. So would you like to tell us a little bit about where you're from, what you do, and who is Christy?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm from Goulburn in New South Wales. So that's partway between Canberra and Sydney. My life is pretty hectic at the best of times. I am a single mum to two kids. One's 12, one's 7. I work two jobs, one in retail, and then I'm also a group fitness instructor. On top of that, I am also studying a Bachelor of Accounting part-time via distance ed. So when people say, hey, free time, I'm like, yeah, what's that? I don't have that. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell, really.
Wow, it sounds like you've spread really thin in terms of your time and your commitments and things that you need to do day to day. And I'm sure we'll touch on that in a couple of moments with the podcast here. But I guess my first question to you is that question that people have been asking you is why? So could you speak a little bit about what made you want to sign up to the Maxine's Challenge?
I guess this is probably the toughest one for me to discuss because it exposes probably a little bit more of me than I'd like it to. But I was in a pretty bad spot emotionally. My life had become so consumed with dealing with the drama that I basically lost who I was. My kids, I love them to death, but they can be extremely difficult. My son, after 18 months, we've just managed to have him diagnosed ADHD, ODD, and he's also potentially got an intellectual disability as well. That will be figured out later. So as a result, he is quite difficult at times. So we had an ever-revolving door of school suspensions and a lot of stress. He is a lovely kid, but he does not have a stop button. And so basically as a result, I started missing the gym. I started eating extremely bad. I was not doing anything for myself. So as I said, I completely lost who I was, lost all motivation for absolutely anything to do with me and my physical health. But yet I still had to turn up and do my job as a group fitness instructor. So then I didn't feel like I was doing that right or very well. So as a result, I was also diagnosed with anxiety and depression. And then I had a panic attack on stage one evening, which was not great. So I knew at that point I had to do something. It was not a question of if, it was I had to. Some people in the gym had done Maxine's and Max's, both sides. And I started looking into it. It took a little while. But eventually plucked up the courage, pressed the go button, and well, here we are.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that. And I'm sure there are people listening who can somewhat relate to your experience where, you know, maybe they lose touch of who they are through life challenges along the way. And we may end up in this, I'll describe it as what feels like a dark place where we feel like we can't reach out. We feel like there's no support out there and we're unsure of what to do. And I guess my question to you is, what steps did you take to kind of like find yourself again? And you've kind of mentioned it already where there were some people who came to your group fitness class who had completed or started the challenge. Did you reach out for help or did you look for support? Like, what did you do to start finding a way to improve your outcomes and improve your health and start looking after yourself again?
Well, first of all, I went and had a complete workup with a doctor. Mm-hmm. She checked all the meds and things like, although not the meds, but like the medical side of things. I went and have sought a psychologist who is an absolute legend. if people have got the same things going on as I have, I cannot suggest that enough. And then it was just a matter of making sure that I could get back into that routine where I was back in the gym, because I don't do meds for my anxiety or depression. So that is mainly controlled in the gym. That is where I get my control back, I guess you could say. So I go, I do my workout and I feel better. It's still there, but it's managed. So other than that, I tried to expand my emotional support network a little. And then, as I said, I jumped on board with the challenge because I knew I had to do something to get my strength back, and I knew I had to do something to get my fitness back in order for me to feel better about doing my job.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about your role as a group fitness instructor. What classes are you taking at the moment?
I am a Les Mills body pump instructor. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's a completely different style of training, low weights, high reps, consistent. So I take that 3 times a week with the option to potentially take more classes when relief is required. So there is a possibility I could teach up to 6 classes a week when necessary. That doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah, I've always had so much respect for group fitness instructors. I've never been a group fitness instructor similar to like a Les Mills body pump or an RPM or anything in between. I have taught Pilates where, you know, I'm not necessarily doing the exercises. I'm more coaching people through it. But I think there's a certain level of fitness required to be able to do that day in, day out, you know, even if it is just 3 classes. And I mean that in a respectful way, like 3 classes is still hard. And then upwards of 6 classes a week, that's like 6 hours of exercise added on top of doing your own training. So I guess, you know, the next part of this podcast is talking about some challenges that you may have faced along the way. So the first question I have about challenges is, how did you manage your body and managing fatigue and managing energy? And, you know, it sounds like you've got yourself spread very thinly and you're trying to be high energy while you're doing a body pump class, but then also needing to train yourself and get yourself into the gym and doing some structured activities, because we both know that body pump is slightly different, or a slightly different goal and an outcome to maybe more structured and formal training that we promote in the challenge. So can you speak a little bit about what you did to manage your fatigue, manage your energy levels, and going from like really high energy in a group fitness class to a different type of internal energy focusing on yourself, and then needing to transition all of that into the other hats you wear from day to day? So can you speak a little bit about that?
Okay, well, first of all, obviously time management was a big concern going into it, because as you said, that is a lot of training, and I was worried about overtraining to start with. So I did the advanced option, so I had the 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. Because body pump is the way it is, if I didn't have time in my day to do the HIIT circuit at the end after the heavy weights, I was able to leave that to the side and not be that concerned. Mm-hmm. I would lower back my weights from my pump classes a little, so that if I had hit it extra hard that morning on the heavy weights or the previous day on the heavy weights and I was still tired, I was able to pair that back. I was able to show more of the options that we would normally use. As a result, I may not have pushed my progress as fast on the heavy end of things because of that fatigue, but I was okay with that because, as I said, I was more about just getting back into the routine to start with. The other thing, because I had all of those going on, I built it so that I had the weekend off. Saturday, Sunday, that was strictly home time. There was no training going on those days. So I probably didn't get the cardio side. I think you had it built so there was a short cardio and a longer cardio. I didn't so much worry about those because body pump, although it is weight-based, your heart rate does go quite high. So I managed it sort of, I had to switch things around a little bit to fit everything in.
Yeah, yeah.
Without going too far.
Now, it sounds like you've got quite a bit of a fitness background, you know, working as a group fitness instructor. So when you were making those changes, did you feel comfortable making those changes yourself, or did you seek advice from maybe some resources that you had available to you, maybe some people you knew, or like things like the forum and such? Or did you go through like self-exploration and Google things and maybe experiment with things? Like, what did you do to take those steps to change the program to fit into your lifestyle and your requirements that you need?
Well, first of all, I just looked at it and went, okay, those cardio ones, I can probably pull those out without losing the effect, just logically, I thought. But then I took what I had looked at to a couple of the other people at my gym who are qualified PTs and went, is this right? Does this seem right? And then obviously you had said at one point, if you were doing X amount of group fitness classes, potentially don't do them. But that wasn't really an option for me at that point because I get paid to teach them. So I just had to look at how they were going to fit. And I had to speak to people who knew more than me, which is, I do okay. I know a little bit, but yeah, I'm no expert. Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part, right, is maybe being slightly humble and going, hey, I don't know, right? And I do it all the time. Like, I have people that I refer to and be like, hey, I don't know these things. Like, what do you suggest? And sometimes they support my ideas and sometimes they go against it. And I think that's good when we sometimes we get that little bit of a conflict because it makes you rethink things. And I think that's the one of the biggest challenges within the challenge is challenging our previous beliefs, right? Where we have people that join the challenge and, you know, they've been exercising for 10 years, 20 years, and they haven't really seen a change in their body. Then they come along to the challenge and, you know, maybe it might be structured slightly different, or the food intake or the nutrition plan might be structured slightly different. And the first objection that some of these challenges have is, oh, well, I've always been doing it like this. Why is your program different to what I've been doing, right? Whereas maybe we should be thinking about it a different way, going, hey, this is slightly different to what I've been doing. What if I tested this method and tried something different? Or what if I asked for help, right? And I think at the end of the day, there's no correct one way to do it. I'm not saying that our method is the best going around, because they all work depending on the situation and the resources we have available. So it's amazing to hear that, you know, you asked for help, you asked for advice, you sought out people who might be more experienced in different areas, such as, you know, some qualified personal trainers, people that you had around you, so that you can make the most out of this program and achieve this amazing result that you did. And your transformation is absolutely amazing. And it's inspired so many people within our communities to live a healthier life. And I'm sure you've inspired so many people that you interact with, especially in this group fitness environment where you've got, I don't know, 40 people in front of you wanting to follow you and do exercise. Them watching you transform your body would have inspired so many people. And I think that's very powerful to think about, right?
Yeah, well, part of that is for me to follow, because that I don't put myself center stage of anything. It's become very clear in probably the last week or so, because there's now a minimum of three, if not more, people from my classes, from my gym, following me into this next January challenge. So that, as I said, as hard as that is for me to swallow, having them come with me, and most of these people have got a lot, you know, some of them are going for more the muscle end of things. Some of them are going for the fat loss, but they've seen what I managed to do and they're going, okay, maybe there's a better way to do this.
Yeah. I love that. And I think sometimes when you transition from, you know, maybe focusing just on yourself, as in trying to improve your health yourself, and then moving into that next step where maybe you become this mentor, coach, go-to person, whatever title you want to be, like, you are now this resource for other people to use. And in a way, we kind of end up using these people who are looking to us for help as almost this drive to keep us going, this accountability force, because now you are going to be in this position of like a mentoring role. you can't step down anymore. You can't fall off anymore. Now you've got to keep on going and being present while these other people look up to you. And some people can seem that feel really daunting about that. It's almost too much. I don't want to be in that position. But then others thrive in that, where, you know, they take themselves to the next level. And I hope you see that, where you are going to be taking yourself to the next level, where it goes, hey, I want to keep on doing this. I'm going to, you know, live the lifestyle of fitness. I'm going to be a role model to people. I'm going to be a role model to my children. I'm going to be a role model to everyone I interact with, because now you moved up into that next level. Is that something you can relate to? Is that something you're excited about? Or is that something that you might experience a little bit of, anxiety or fear about being in that position now?
It probably scares me a little, because I know personally I've got a lot of work to do. The head games are still afoot. There are a lot of bad habits I still need to break. And I'm not somebody who can just go snap and break them all at once. Mm-hmm. I've tried that. I failed every time. So being on the mentor side of things, or somebody for the others to look up to, it's a bit hard for me to swallow. But there's certain things that I can still do for those people, and that's pull no punches with them, give them the advice, give them the push. They may or may not still come to the classes. If they still come, I go, okay, where are you at? What help do you need? If I don't know, they're already in the Facebook group. They've already been put in there, so they know that that's there. They know that if I can't direct them, I can put them to where they need to be to get the advice that they need. Like, because I know all of those things now. I know the Facebook group's there, and there is a wealth of knowledge there that I'm not going to be able to give it all. Between all those people, somebody's going to know the answer.
Yeah.
Someone.
Yeah. Well, look, if it's any weight off your shoulders, is that it's okay to have that weight off your shoulders, where you're not doing it for these people. So if there are a group of people that are looking to you as to be the role model, to be the coach, to be the leader in their journey, you remember that you're not doing it for them. You're doing it maybe with them. You're doing it as like a little help on the side. And I say this because maybe I'm in that position almost up high at the top, where there's people that are looking towards me for, you know, leadership and, you know, to do the challenge for them. But at the end of the day, I can't do the challenge for people who are doing the challenge, right? And even myself, sometimes I feel the pressure where, hey, I've got to be, you know, Mr. Perfect Coach Steve, the fitness guy, right? But I'm not that person, okay? I'm the identity of a coach. I might not be an athlete. I might not be the fittest person going around. And I look at some of the transformations, it's like, whoa, they look so much better than I do. You know, they've got the six pack, they've got the muscles, everything like that. And I'm okay with that. And I say that to you, and I say that to people who are listening to this, is that if you find yourself in a position where people are looking to you for inspiration, or people are looking to you as like the leadership or to be the authority of fitness, don't take that as a huge amount of pressure, because you don't need to be feeling that pressure of other people. It's their transformation. It's their journey. It's their fitness. It's their health. You might be there as help and advice. And I'm always there for anybody who asks for help or wants advice and wants my opinion. But I don't need to lead the way by having the chiseled six pack and look like a model in a magazine. I don't need to be that person. But I can be there as advice, motivation, and help. And of course, I have my own, I guess, quotation demons, or my own habits that I need to resolve. And I enjoy things like burgers and chocolates and, you know, having a beer with my mates and doing these things. I love sitting on the couch and watching Netflix. I love doing these things. But then there's also another balance to me where I go, hey, I also enjoy exercise. I also enjoy living healthy. I also enjoy having a salad, right? Because I feel good in doing these things. It's about balance. And sometimes pressure is good, but sometimes pressure is bad. And that leads to things like anxiety, that leads to things like stresses in our life. But then there is that time where you kind of let go and going, hey, I don't need to be this crazy person at the top. I can still inspire people. And I say this in a good way to you and anybody who's listening, is that it can be very rewarding to be that inspiring person. And it can also be lots of pressure, lots of imposter syndrome like experiences where you feel like you need to be, I don't know, some sort of God-like figure, but you don't, right? You can just be a human, you can be a person, and you can inspire people just by being there and being there to help them. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. Now, I guess to change the conversation slightly, I want to talk about learning. So, you know, Christy, can you speak a little bit about maybe some things that you have learned over the past 12 weeks of doing the challenge? And that could be like a formal thing, like what is a protein, or could be an informal thing, like if I put my mind to it, I can achieve something. So can you speak a little bit about something that you might have learned over the past 12 weeks?
Probably the two biggest things. The first one would be I had as bad as it sounds, not used any of the gym floor. I had always went into my group fitness room right from the very start, did our thing in there, and that was it. So I literally hadn't used any of the stuff downstairs. So it was, I guess, learning that new style of training, learning how to use all that equipment and figuring out exactly how that changes things. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing would be the food. I knew what I should be eating. I knew how to eat. But what I realized was I potentially wasn't actually eating enough. You might say, okay, the vegetable side of things, you would think you had the right amount, but once you actually measured it out and weighed it out and figured out exactly what it all was, you were probably eating like a quarter of that. So just learning exactly how much of the right things was probably the biggest thing, actually. That was probably the biggest thing. And the fact that you didn't actually have to give up all those things that you actually like that are not so great, is you just had to learn how to substitute them in a slightly better way to still satisfy that little craving, so to speak, but not jump off the deep end and eat the whole chocolate bar.
I like that. What did you do to stop yourself from jumping off the deep end? Like, how did you restrain yourself from doing those things?
You would look at the recipes. There was many recipes that were popping up. You would substitute out the mug cakes. Those things were a lifesaver for me, the protein mug cake. It gave me that little chocolate thing that I wanted, but yet gave you the little protein dose. And if you had enough allowance still in the day, you were able to add the fruits and get that little bit of sweetness on top as well. Because you were getting fitter and more focused, and you were able to not go buying the big things, and you'd buy the little things. If you really wanted that dose of chocolate, you were able to have it, e.g. Halloween. I had a party here. It was a lot of chocolate. I had a Fredo frog. Great. I was done with that. Whereas normally that wouldn't be enough. Yeah. But you were able to restrain yourself simply because you knew what you had to do and you had the fulfilling foods earlier on in the day, so you weren't just diving for all that nasty stuff.
Yeah. I love that. And I love what you said, where most people look at their food intake and the first objection they see when they're looking at the nutrition templates is they go, wow, it's too much food. It's so much more than I've been currently eating. And it's actually somewhat true, where most people I speak with, they undereat so much, but they don't tell anybody about those little sweets along the way. So what ends up happening is they eat too few of energy throughout the day. So their energy intake is quite low throughout the whole day. Then it hits 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. They have dinner. They might have a larger dinner than normal. And then it gets into the evening and they start snacking on things, but they don't tell anybody about that snacking. So then they look back at their day and they go, oh, well, I don't eat that much. I skip breakfast. I have a small lunch and then a dinner, but they don't tell anybody about the other things. So then it ends up leading into this really off the deep end approach. And they're going, hey, I'm going to have the whole chocolate bar. But, oh, it's only, you know, maybe the size of my hand. It's like, no, that was like a whole day's worth of energy in that chocolate bar. That's the size of your hand, right? But, you know, that skill that you said where you restrain yourself, you have just a small amount and then that's it, right? And that's okay. Portion control is the biggest thing. You're allowed to have, like, you know, that little Freddo, that little fun-sized Snickers bar or whatever your kryptonite is. You can have those things. It's a choice. But then you decide if you end up having the entire shelf of Coles of a Mars bar, right? Yeah. Or you have a small amount. You decide. You decide these things. You have the choice. You know, no one's there shoving it in your mouth, right? You have to unpack the thing and put it in your mouth. Yeah. Look, Christy, from here, I want to talk about change. So if you were to jump in your little time machine going back, you know, 3, 4, 5 months ago, can you speak a little bit about how your life has changed? And that could be like the day-to-day things or maybe your priorities from life. Like, how has your life changed since completing the challenge?
Well, first of all, obviously I'm a little bit more fitter. So I'm a lot more confident. I'm a lot more calm because I'm back into a routine. I don't feel so crappy within myself because I have lost that little bit of weight, and it's not completely about the weight, but that was just, I guess, the catalyst for being able to do my job better, which then also made me calmer, which made me also a better parent, which basically allowed me to just chill. And now I eat better, I sleep better, and I'm still busy, but I don't feel so stressed about it. And I think because the challenge forced you into the routine, and it was all written there in black and white on two little spreadsheets, well, not little, but two spreadsheets, it was there. You followed it. If you were stuck, you just looked at it and you went, I know where I need to be. So now I've sort of taken that and I've pushed that into other areas of my life, and I'm able to structure my whole being a little better as a result of using that same sort of format as the challenge. Not literally, there's no spreadsheets, but you're able to routine things a little better. And that's led to a lot more confidence, a lot more happiness, and just a lot better being. Still a lot of work to go.
Yeah.
We're getting there. But that's the biggest change, is the mental state. It's a little better, a little bit better, a lot of work. But
no, good. Well, I hope that the principles that the programs that Built Design, and I guess the structure, the organization that the program provides, can be helpful to make you feel like you're in control again, right? You can control your meal. You can start to see what parts are in the meal. You can control your training. You can start to organize things, and you go, hey, like, I've got this portion of my life in control. And I think control is a big part of it, right? Where I think sometimes we all live really frantic lives, lots of uncertainty, especially in these times now where we're unsure if, you know, the gyms are going to close tomorrow, or if we have to stay in our homes for the next couple of weeks, or whatever happens. But if you can control one aspect of your life, you'll find that other aspects of your life start to become more organized, more in control. And you go, hey, like, I have choices. I have some elements of control in my life where I can manipulate things. I can do things. So I think it's powerful, powerful to understand and powerful to acknowledge, going, hey, I've got this, right? But look, Chrissy, the final question here is about advice. So if someone came to you, which I'm sure they have been, and wanted to start their own fitness journey, or were interested in doing the Maxine's Challenge themselves, what advice would you give that person to get the most out of their fitness journey, about most out of their transformation?
Well, I have literally been asked that. So first of all, I've literally just said to them, if you want to do this, just get in it and give it a crack. It's going to be on you. It's going to be on your own back, but there are plenty of people there to back you. All you can do is try. But I've also said to them, don't be so rigid in your expectations that you cannot be flexible. The challenge is built with the flexibility that if you can't make it to the gym, there's something you can do. That if you need to swap out something food-wise, you can do it. If you need to swap out things like that, that is okay. So be flexible. At the same time, the plan is there. Yeah, that would be the biggest thing, that get in, give it a crack, and be flexible with it all. Do not be disappointed if you cannot stick to 100%. If you can't do that particular exercise, be okay with that. It's okay.
Yeah, I love that. I love that advice. And, you know, just touching on what you kind of said at the start, and maybe you misspoke, but you kind of mentioned how, you know, it's not going to solve everything too. And that's an expectation that we do need to acknowledge and understand, where even through my own fitness journey, when I was really starting to get fit, before I started my fitness journey, I was quite out of shape. I was unhappy with the way I looked, and I successfully lost quite a lot of weight, and I had the six pack and I had the biceps and the chest. And I thought that, you know, my life would be solved, or my problems would go away once I have these things. And what I found was that they weren't, they were still there. And all the inner challenges that I faced were still there, even though externally I had the things that I wanted. And if you're feeling like, you know, doing the challenge because it's going to solve something, take a moment to take a step back, going, hey, will this solve all of my problems, or do I need to seek help and seek advice? And, you know, like what you have gone through, where you seeked help from a GP, got a medical, you know, are going and seeing a psychologist and getting help and looking for resources around you. So just be careful you don't fall into that trap where you put fitness up on a pedestal, where you go, hey, my life's going to begin once I have a six pack, because, you know, your life's happening right now. Don't miss the forest from the trees, right? Because it's happening right now. Look, Chrissy, I want to take a moment to thank you for donating your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And thank you for opening up and sharing your experiences and maybe some really personal things that you haven't really spoken to people about in this public arena. I want to thank you for completing the challenge and, you know, congratulate you on such an amazing result. And I know that you will be a inspiration and a motivation to so many people within your circles, but then also within our online communities. So for that, I thank you.
Thanks for having me. And I guess bring on the next round.
Well, a party in 2021, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.